Welcome back, everybody. It's Dueling Tangent with Luke and Brian. I'm Luke, that's Evan. I made the Luke Evan joke at least three times. I think I'm going to drop it. Either way, we're here on the southern swath of Wisconsin. I'm in Waukesha. You're listening to me on 540 AM. That's WAUK, as well as 101 FM, The Shaw. Over there in Madison, you're listening to Evan over on 1580 AM. That's WTTN, as well as 92.7 FM Devil Radio. He's broadcasting out of the Solidarity Realty Studios, and that is a Solidarity Realty place. Pretty awesome place to be in, and I think Evan's enjoying it. You can also give me a call, 844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. All right, we've talked about Gableman. We've talked about the tampon shortage, and I also kind of made a little transition before we left. Then if you wanted to go and look up a really, really learned subject of a bunch of older men talking about menstruation, go check out the Bible. Really, really good menstruation stuff there. If you don't know how that works, shame on you. Shame on you. I that's all I can tell you. You should pretty much go figure that out for yourself and learn about it. Because if I have to teach you on the radio, you're going to look pretty darn stupid here. But again, these wonderful Bible-thumping people like to go and say things like the family and the Bible and all these things, and they use the Bible to justify what they're doing, including, you know, awesome people like Tim Michaels. Here's a wonderful thing by Scott Bauer at Madison.com. The headline is, GOP Governor candidate Tim Michaels opposes same-sex marriage. And it reads, Donald Trump's endorsed candidate for Wisconsin governor standing by as opposition to same-sex marriage, telling the Associated Press he believes marriage should be between a man and a woman. How does he feel about the rest of your people that will be, you know, legally affected by that? How do you feel about them? Does that even enter into your... Oh, that's right. You're not looking to be the governor for everybody. You're looking to be the governor for right around 30% of the people here. The ones who like to go and look at the Bible and go, who can I hate? Because that seems to be a good thing that I learned in the Bible, right? Which people should I look down upon and treat like crap? Is that right? Is that how the Bible says it? I don't know. I'm just so excited about being able to hate someone. I don't even bother reading the whole thing. I know people who've done that. I know people who have gone out around the country with signs saying God hates gays, things like that. Really, really positive outlook message, like, you know, that you know, God hates you. Really good. I know people that have done that and have come back and told me about how they learned that, you know, maybe that was a bad idea by meeting a gay couple in their community. And now that's okay. Oh, thank goodness. Thank goodness you met someone gay and now they're okay because you've recognized them as a person. Wow, what a great concept for you. Hey, by the way, are you enjoying your clam chowder? What do you mean? Well, the person I was talking to who went around the country telling gay people shouldn't exist because of the Bible had neglected to read a couple paragraphs down where it said, you know, you shouldn't eat shellfish. And that person said, oh, I didn't read that part. What? You went around telling people they shouldn't exist and advocating for policies that leave them as less than a citizen? And you didn't even read the book? Great job. Here's some more quotes from the bigot, Tim Michaels. My position is that a marriage should be between a man and a woman. As a businessman, what I do is I look at what's in the legislation, and it's all about the details. So I'm very hesitant to do hypotheticals on a broadly stated question like that. That's after he was asked if he would take steps as governor to limit the rights of gay people. Not, hey, your rights are your rights, or hey, you have rights now and those are your rights. He said, I'll have to think about it. But Michael said he would win the support of LGBTQ voters because they know that I'm going to bring proper, proven executive leadership to the governor's office. Huh. Let's see. I don't think you should exist. I don't think that your marriage should be legal. I don't really think that what you're doing is correct. But you know I have proven executive leadership, so you're going to go and drop the whole I don't think that you're a good person or should exist as you are. And you're going to put that aside because of proven executive leadership? F you, Tim Michaels. F you. You can cross him off the list of anybody that I would consider at all at this point. Like, I might even look at that executive leadership because, again, you know, executive leadership from when you inherited your company from your daddy. Wow, what executive leadership you've shown. Great job. You do anything on your own besides be bigoted? Oh, wait, no, you got that from other people, too. Good job. In case you think Becky Clayfish is a little bit more, you know, lenient on this topic, she's not going to be.
Can we marry dogs?
Yeah. That's the sentiment. What good Christians they are. What good Christians say things like that? What good Christians do things like this? Well, maybe we should extricate ourselves from Wisconsin. Maybe we know these people a little too well to go and really, you know, really put aside our biases and look at how things work. Let's hear a column from Kansas. Let's hear what the Kansas City Star has to say. This is by Charles Hammer, columnist. It was updated today. The title is Casting Stones, Kansas and Missouri. Take a look at a page or two from the Bible, continuing on from our wonderful conversation here. Because why is it that the atheists that I know and the ones who have turned away from the church actually exhibit more Christian-like behavior than people who go every week? Huh. Here's how it starts. They told him the woman that had been caught in the act of adultery, demanding under biblical law that she be stoned to death. Quite a political dilemma, since these Pharisees had hoped he would breach the law and thus himself suffer the death penalty. Jesus of Nazareth looked up at the crowd and said, "He that is without sin among you, let him cast a stone at her." Then everything went quiet. One by one, the moral majority mob drifted away. Jesus asked the woman whether the men had condemned her. She said no, and he said, "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." This is among one of the coolest episodes in the Bible. Jesus gently navigating the poisonous politics of ancient Palestine. It is one of the many biblical episodes that tell me religion, Christianity in particular, is mainly about how we treat each other. Politics is about how we treat each other also. So how are we doing religiously and politically in Kansas and Missouri? Again, this is a perspective from Charles Hammer in the Kansas City Star. Just dreadfully, morally and religiously, even money-wise in our own interest, we stink. We cancel taxes for limited liability corporations at the same time killing expanded Medicaid for poor people. We rejected free federal dollars to deny the poor medical care, while our governments just can't seem to do enough for the rich. Driving our streets in the greater Kansas City area, you will seldom see a huge business project that you, as a homeowner or renter, are also not paying for. Our Kansas City Republican leaders invented a profit-making corporate version of Medicaid called CanCare. A single parent makes too much to qualify if he or she earns more than $8,345 a year for a family of three. Understand with that income, she's too rich to be worthy of help. Republicans on both sides of the state line, including U.S. Rep. Vicky Hartzler, have demanded that the poor people work a job to get this care. They surely know that even a lousy Kansas minimum of $7.25 an hour could make poor people yet again too rich to get Medicaid. Meanwhile, Hartzler, now a candidate for U.S. Senate and a Medicaid opponent, has raked in more than $1 million federal dollars in subsidies for her Cass County farm. She's among the highest subsidy recipients in Congress. Should she, as she demand of poor folks, work for that money? Like, roll out on winter mornings to tug birthing calves out of distressed young cows? In one recent year, 734, quote, farmers receiving subsidies lived within the Chicago area, and 220 lived in New York City. All four states that surround Kansas, Missouri, Oklahoma, Nebraska, and Colorado have expanded Medicaid. In Kansas, we sit in the middle. A tight-fisted island of stinginess. Sound familiar? We're one of only 12 such miserly states. The other 38 have expanded. Well, the poor of those 38 received medical care. In the last 8 years, Kansas sacrificed $5.7 billion in federal dollars to deprive our own people. Is that supposed to be good for the moral of poor folks or ours? Republicans tell us repeatedly that government benefits to the poor are evil. Bad even for the poor. Remember what Paul Ryan used to say? Springboard, right? But taxpayer gifts to the rich, they are just dandy, particularly $200 million in tax giveaways for just one Johnson County commercial project. The wealthy shovel our tax money into their pockets and are not harmed. Meanwhile, telling us that subsidies that just ruin poor people, huh? Now, 18 months after a violent mob sought to overthrow the American government, let's navigate our own poisonous politics by again considering the story of a Samaritan, member of a scorned minority in Palestine, who found an injured robbery victim at the roadside. He, quote, went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn and took care of him. On the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host, and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Did you notice? The good Samaritan never did ask the injured man whether he had a job. Huh. Seems to me that, if you're following the Bible, you might want to put that into, and you want to go and make the Bible part of your politics. You want to go and say, use the Bible to go and justify, discriminating against people for being gay. Maybe you want to use the Bible to justify whatever BS you want to go and do, but could you use it to maybe justify, taking care of people? Or do you misinterpret what your own Bible says? I think we should change the slogan of the Republican Party. I don't know if they have one. Doesn't really matter. They should really just say, we are not our brother's keepers. Every time I talk to someone or they want to go and tell me, the poor should pee in a cup to go and get anything. Where is your brother? Where is your brother? Huh? Where is your brother? Are you your brother's keeper? Do you remember that part? It's one of the first things, first couple stories there.
I am not my brother's keeper.
Yeah, that's pretty much the Republican slogan. I am not my brother's keeper. They like to be, they keep oaths. They like to go and, kill people for stupid religious reasons, but yet help people for stupid religious reasons? No. That would be a waste. Why would we do that? It's indefensible. It's absolutely indefensible. I cannot believe that of the religion you want to go and shove into, it's things that say God, and it's things that say God in schools, but none of it is, hey, let's take care of the kids or let's take care of the people. Let the children come to me. None of it is, blessed are the poor, for they shall inherit the kingdom of the... No, none of that. Remember the Beatitudes? Because I do. I haven't been to church in a really long time. You know why? Because it's full of people who think that I just went to church and that's just fine. Now I can sit there and look at everybody else. Oh, those people that smoke pot, what a bunch of jerks. Huh. Well, a lot of the atheists I know seem to be better people than the Christians I know. And why is that? Is it because of some moral imperative that they do? Is it some, magical book that they read? Or maybe they just reasoned out that not being a jerk is a really good thing. I don't know. Far be it from me to understand all this. It's beyond my meager understanding as someone who, reads and understands science and also sees the Bible and, looks at that and goes, you're clearly not following it at all. Lying? Oh, yeah, there's a whole January 6th hearing about lying. I heard something about that in the Bible, too. Huh. We'll cheer up when we come back on Dueling Tangents.